This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
I'm going to have to buck my ideas up. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm quite tired tonight on this show because our littlest one, my youngest daughter, Stella, who's two, has been, over the past week, what I can only describe as a sleep monkey, but behind closed doors, I do use worse words than that. She just keeps waking up in the middle of the night, normally like, I don't know, midnight, 1 o'clock. Occasionally, she throws in a couple of 4 a.m.s to keep me on my toes. Normally as well, if I stay up late for whatever reason, if I want to watch anything or I'm out or whatever, it's that moment you just get into bed, she then wakes up and then I've got to take her downstairs. And what happened last night is that I went from the incredible highs of watching the new Dune movie, which I went to see after the show last night, which was brilliant. So watch that was brilliant. Got home absolutely buzzing after watching that in Las Vegas. And then went to get in bed, and within an hour I was up watching the CBeebies show Bing Bunny with her at like 2 a.m. What a come down that is. I'm pretty tired. But do you know what? The reason I'm saying this is because we're one big family and I feel like we trust each other. I feel like you might be a bit tired too. Is that me overstepping a boundary by saying that? I'm getting tired vibes from everybody this Thursday. So what I would like you to do, right, if you've got loads of energy, fine, don't rub our noses in it. Just keep your mouth shut for the next hour. Mickey says, stayed up watching One Day on Netflix and now I'm an emotional mess. What is it with this programme? I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch a programme that makes me cry. Why would I want to watch a programme that makes me cry? I'm an Everton fan. I cry every weekend. It's called Match of the Day. Sorry, I'm quite tired today, so there's going to be a lot of this. Holly says, tired because of the tiny agent of chaos that is my son. Yeah, kids, World Book Day, dressing up and everything. When he dresses the lead character from a book called Just Give Us 5 Minutes Peace. Look that one up. There is no book, it's just a message. Lisa says, the room's too warm, but the cat will kill me if I switch the heater off. Weird stuff going on today. Scaly says they've been rock climbing. Claire in Exeter says, afternoon, I'm tired because we're having building work done and everything is in boxes. The kitchen is missing, so meal prep takes forever. I need to do it upstairs on a desk as there's no work surfaces in the kitchen and the washing machine is unplumbed. So I spent an hour and a half at the laundrette last night. Happy times. Hang in there. Someone's texted to say, fun fact, an old Wiltshire term for tired is quanked with a Q. And I'm tired because I've spent too much time learning these useless facts. If someone can confirm that, that would be great. In other news, we have Harvey on the line who I think's tired. Harvey, what's going on in your house?
Basically, we've got three kids. The eldest one had chicken pox 2 weeks ago. She just got rid of them. And now the youngest two, one's 2 years old and one's 6 months old. They've both come down with a chicken.
It's the worst thing in the world, isn't it? It's just it turns your house into something like from the 1600s in London, some kind of plague thing.
Yeah, it's completely took the house down. I had to Uber Eats a 4-pack of Red Bull to my wife earlier because she was dying.
Oh man, that's love for you right there, isn't it?
And it certainly is.
What's it called? What's that lotion called that stinks?
Chamomile.
One's a tea. Yeah, one's a tea and one's definitely like the thing you put on the skin. Have you tried some of that?
Yeah, we've got that. We've got some mousse. We've got all sorts, but you can't really explain to a 2-year-old that not to itch it, can you?
No, exactly. That's the thing. Didn't someone say you're supposed to put like sit them in like oats, a bath of oats?
Yeah, we've had the oat baths.
I don't know about you, mate, but I always feel like the cures and the remedies for chickenpox just stray slightly into witchcraft.
Yeah. Chuck a bit of salt over your shoulder and jump on one leg.
Exactly that. Don't try that, though. Well, listen, that explains why you're tired. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks, mate.
There's some crazy stuff coming in. This text says, Bush, I'm tired as the streetlight outside my bedroom window is now on from dusk till 5:30 a.m. instead of shutting off at 2 a.m. and the shield has been removed so the light illuminates my bedroom like the headlights in the window. What's going on there?
The Daily Takeaway.
And Richie's Daily
Takeaway. I am tired today, so I apologise if I'm just down on some stuff, but World Book Day, is World Book Day kind of turning into the new Halloween? You know the way Halloween's kind of changed? Anyone else getting those vibes? Kind of started out as a bit of fun, now it's a bit of a pain in the backside. You notice that? You notice as well that parents have started getting dressed up for World Book Day as well? It's not about you. It's about the kids. I know you need it for the gram. So there's an example of how grouchy I am today. I was up at 1 o'clock this morning with our 2-year-old who's having a little funny couple of weeks, waking up and being like, hey, where's the party at? It's like, go back to bed. So if you're tired today, just tell me, get it off your chest. Some mad stuff coming in. Jen says, I'm so tired because I was woken up in the early hours by our cat charging around the house with my boot stuck on its head. He was trying to recapture a mouse that had escaped his clutches and sought refuge in the boots. It's all going on tonight. Staying with that theme, we've got Nathan on the line. Nathan, tell everyone why you're tired then.
Yeah, basically, my missus wanted a cat, and so we went for a Maine Coon, which is the biggest cat breed there is. Wow. And I thought it was unfair to have one, so I talked her into having two, which wasn't very wise. And then she'd always wanted a ginger one, but the two we got weren't ginger, so we then ended up with a third one. And they're basically massive. They're two girls, which are 10.5 kilos each, and the boy is now 10 months old and he's getting on for 12 kilos, but they grow up to 16 kilos.
16 kilos. Just very quickly, was that the Close Encounters of the Third Kind you've got as your doorbell ring there?
It's not a doorbell ring, it's my other phone, and yeah, it is Close Encounters, but it's a text message.
Good man. Let's go back to the cats. So I've just Googled them during the start of that conversation there. It looks like Battle Cat from He-Man. It's absolutely huge. How high up to your leg does it go, these cats?
When they're standing next to you, they're about the size of a spaniel, roughly, a cocker spaniel.
Yeah.
But when they reach up, they can quite easily reach stuff off the kitchen side.
Oh, my God. Well, so what, like, do you let them out? Can they go out, these things, or not?
They can go out, but they're so expensive, and to be honest with you, they're so stupid that they're likely to get run over within 5 minutes, so we try to keep them indoors. We just got a big house, so we keep them indoors.
So that is why you are tired, and with good reason.
I am knackered.
Well, before we let you go, we've got to find out the names of these three massive, massive cats that you've got.
We got Luna, Lucha and Ted.
OK, good on you. Hang in there. Stay strong.
Yep, cheers, Bush.
This is the Daily Takeaway. Right,
have you seen the new Dune movie, Dune Part 2? I don't know what's actually called. Is it just called Dune Part 2? Pain in the Arrakis or something like that, it's called. Something like that. But it's absolutely brilliant. I saw it last night. You know, I was saying earlier on, I had the high of watching the movie at the cinema in Basildon. This is the high of being in Basildon, really. And then got back and my littlest daughter was up from about 1 a.m. So swings and roundabouts, but it's an amazing film. It's an amazing film. Genuinely blown away by it. It was so, so good. And the first one's great as well. But a couple of people were like tweeting and texting this morning saying that they'd been to see it. Have you had these cinemas you can go to where the seats move around whilst you're watching the movie? What's all that about? Why would you want that? Because we had, like, a beer each. I wouldn't want the seat to move around whilst I'm having a neck oil. Do you know what I mean? Is it called 4DX? Sounds like my worst nightmare. However, like I was saying at the tail end of last night's show, even though the new Dune movie was amazing, they still don't explain how they managed to fly spaceships using that spice powder stuff. Someone suggested earlier on that it might be loaded into the, you know, those old-fashioned circular cap gun ammo pouches, and then they just fire stuff into space. Sounds a bit slapdash to me, that. But one of our listeners, Dan, has come up with a question about the Dune movie and the Dune books, which is really good. And I don't know the answer to this, so I said I would ask you lot, because you're a very learned bunch. He says the movie's brilliant, but he wants to know, how do they get off the worms? Because there's a bit... No, it's not a spoiler, but if you had read the Frank Herbert books or seen anything to do with Dune, they kind of ride worms around this desert planet, Arrakis. They're on the back of a worm. They're worm surfing in many ways. But Dan asked a very point, you know, good question. How the hell do they get off? Jamie from Wickford has texted to say, Bush, I went to the very same 4DX cinema with the moving seats to watch Dune at Bass Vegas, a.k.a. Basildon, last night. Snuck a Starbucks in, despite them being banned. Went home with third-degree burns. There you go, that's the big problem. If the seats are moving around, you're going to spill your stuff. And I was also asking the question about the film, how do people get off a worm if they're surfing a worm in the Dune universe? Steve says, Bush, they wait for a worm to get tired and then they call another one. That's not really the answer, is it? Ian in Bournemouth says, it's easy, they just run to the back and jump off it. I don't think that's how it happens. People getting in touch as well while they're tired. Pete and Shell from Stockport says, we're on a week off. Our cat brought in a dead pigeon into the bedroom at 2:45 this morning and then continued to toss it around in the air. We're really tired. A lot of bad behaviour from cats coming into the show this evening. Are you sure it's worth it? Jennifer in Glasgow says, I'm shattered after three night shifts in a busy A&E and now, having sworn to get my life into shape, I'm about to go to my personal trainer for a session at the gym. I have no idea how I got out of my bed this morning.
The noise of the past. It's Bush and Ritchie's Sound of the Decades. Absolute Radio 70s.
So this one sound effect, captured from the decade, the great decade that is the 70s, has confused everybody so far. Have a listen to this. What is that? A signed Hometime DAB digital radio up for grabs if you can guess it. Our contestant tonight is Rebecca. Rebecca, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How are you? How's your Thursday been so far?
More or less all right, although I think I'm getting a cold, so it could be better.
Everyone's got colds at the moment. It's the in thing, isn't it? It's all the rage.
Yeah, I think I've caught it off my mum as well, which is a lovely thought.
Thanks, Mum. Just in time for Mother's Day with that, passing that little gift on. What are you going to do? Are you going to lem sip it up? Or you try a hot toddy? Whiskey, hot water, a bit of sugar, a bit of lemon?
I honestly don't know yet. It hasn't sort of quite kicked in enough. It's sort of early stages.
Give it time, give it time. Well, listen, what Absolute Radio station do you listen to the Hometime show via then, Rebecca?
Usually Absolute Radio 90s.
Good on you. And is there a 90s band or act that you like the most?
I like a lot of them, to be honest. I do particularly enjoy it when you get a Smash Mouth on, so...
Joe, we were watching Shrek the other night, and it still sounds good even to this day. Do you know what I mean? The first song on the movie Shrek. So, anyway, let's get
Absolutely.
Down to business on this, Rebecca.
Yep.
It's a sound effect that has confused a lot of people so far. When I selected this, I was worried that maybe I'd push things too far. Let's have a listen to it one more time. Rebecca, do you think you know what this is?
I do think I know what this is.
What is it?
That is the sound of the ship's computer, known as Mother, starting up at the beginning of the movie Alien from 1979.
You sound like you know your movies.
I know that one very well. It's a favourite of mine.
It is one of the greatest films of all time. How sure are you, do you reckon? So that's quite a weird guess, isn't it?
It is a bit. I'm actually very sure.
OK, well, let's have a listen one more time. And let's find out.
You're a winner, and you've won.
Yes!
Good.
Good on you. There was a lot... When I suggested it in our little show prep meeting, there was a lot of people looking at me thinking, that's really weird, no-one's ever going to guess that. But you did it, Rebecca.
Yep, thank you.
You have won yourself a signed Hometime DAB digital radio. What about that?
Thank you very much. I look forward
to it. Well, it's just losing the line there a little bit like the Nostromo or whatever it is as it's disappearing into deepest, darkest space. Good to speak to you. That means, then, the implications are as such... that now that is being guessed, it's the 1979 Ridley Scott classic Alien. We're going to come back on Monday with a sound from the 1980s, a sound of the decade's return.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Ray Winston, Caio Scodelario, how you doing? Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Absolute Radio. Good to have you guys on. The Gentleman, out today on Netflix, Guy Ritchie's small screen debut. It's an 8-part drama that looks and feels like the advert for a new Grand Theft Auto game.
No.
Grand Theft Auto Essex or Dagenham or something like that. It looks like something
is that a good thing?
It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It looks like something that would be, looks to have been fun to have been part of to film.
Yeah,
would that be the case?
Fun. Every day was very different. Every episode. It's very different. Yeah. There's new characters that come and go, and you know, one day you'll be sat talking to Vinnie Jones, and the next it's Ray Winston. It was brilliant, very much a Guy Ritchie set.
And so, good family feeling on set and stuff like that.
No,
as well,
we kind of hit the ground running, you know, and chemistry was there, wasn't it?
Yeah,
babe?
Straight away.
Really
luckily.
Felt that, you know, right away. And you ain't got time to mess around on a Guy Ritchie film. Mm. It's very different from any film. Or any director I've worked with before, you know, you have to be on your toes.
Well, I was going to ask about that because I've heard that that Guy Ritchie's got an unusual directing style, but also I always wonder whether if you're friendly with someone, because he seems like quite an affable guy, does it all change the moment he becomes the director? What are the relationship like between actors and directors? Does it change even if you're friendly with them when they sit in that seat and it begins? It's got to be like more about business?
No, I don't know. I mean, when it came to Guy, I kind of only really saw him in a work capacity because he's kind of on set before you get there. And then you get there and it, like Ray's saying, it's all very quick and everything changes on the day. So there's no time for pleasantries. There's no, hi, how you doing? It's like, right, this is completely different. Now go learn 17 pages of dialogue that weren't there 2 hours ago.
So why is that? Does he change his mind at the last minute and does rewrites?
Or changing his mind? I think it's just his process. It's how he works. It's
it kind of keeps you on your toes, doesn't it? You know, and it's for the better.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, the writing of the script, that's kind of like the Bible. That's what it is. It's there. You learn that. You're learning your character while you're doing that. And when it changes, if you're not on the ball, then you can't go with the flow. So you've really got to be up to speed.
But people take different amounts of time to memorise things, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be terrible if someone changed like
me.
You learn quick. You have to learn quick. And for me, I found it really refreshing and a really good way to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, because it's new and it's there. It's just coming to your mind and you're cracking on. It's just very natural, you know?
Mm. Keeps you on your toes. Yeah. I mean, I cycle past the Savoy Hotel every day on the way into work, and they've always got filming stuff going on in there. And I'm always enchanted by the equipment that's involved in the background of, like, making movies or making TV, particularly the catering vans.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to get into you know, TV and movies, mainly for the catering. Do you get served good stuff?
Not all the catering, believe me.
Do you know what? I will say my favourite thing about catering in the UK, like American catering's much better on a job, right? But in the UK, you can get a full English breakfast every morning on set, and I do. I get a full English every single morning when I'm at work.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's heaven. Yeah. Isn't it? Favourite part
of
shooting
in the
UK.
When I was working on Indiana Jones, I'd lost a lot of weight to do the film. And I remember they had this Frappuccino machine with caramel in it as you go on the set. And I thought, I'll have one of them, you know. And I had one every morning. Then I had two. And you could see me, because it was quite chronological the way they shot it. You see me get fatter as the film went on.
Ended up with a Frappuccino problem.
I did. My head went like that, like a barrage balloon.
I mean, the fact that Guy Ritchie is getting involved in the small screen TV, do you think that shows how far television small screen's come in the past few years? Because you wouldn't have thought anything like that would have happened 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I know, and they're all doing it. It's quite exciting.
The thing about it is a film's 2 hours, 20 minutes, you know, and the way he makes a film, you know, it's quite fast. So you don't really get a lot of time to get involved in character, but with making eight episodes, you can actually be fast, but you can still get to know the characters much easier and much better, I think, over eight episodes.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a good way to go to work. If I was Guy, the way he writes and the way he does things, that's where I'd want to be, I think.
And it's a beautiful thing to watch visually. It reminded me of kind of like a Banksy street painting, kind of classical Britain with kind of graffiti on it, or kind of like, you know, kind of a bit of chaos with it. And this is a recurring theme about, which is kind of Banksy-esque, about existing in the zoo or surviving in the jungle. Do you feel like the British public has had a long held fascination with the underworld and crime and stuff like that?
I think it's class. We are fascinated by class. We define ourselves by class. The second you meet someone in England, you can tell so much about where they're from, how they've grown up, how much money they have as soon as they open their mouth. And that's unfortunately something quite unique to the UK.
So when you've worked in the States, then it's completely different,
isn't it?
It's about money.
That's the hierarchy there.
Which is worse, then, do you think, out of the two?
It's all a bit problematic.
We're not going to solve it here today.
I think what I really like about working in the US is, when I started out here being working class and being untrained, I found it quite difficult to get casting directors to want to see me for parts that were regal or that were, you know, the good parts. I was always seen as for the mate or the help or the staff or whatever. And in the States, I never had that problem. No. I was just British. I wasn't working class British.
Yeah.
But I also love being working class, so.
It's
a complicated one. But we have a fascination with it, and it's definitely a theme that we explore throughout the show. And who are the real criminals?
Well, I mean, let's talk about your character, Akiah. Susie Glass, a formidable criminal operator. Where did you look for inspiration in the way that you played the role?
My friend's mum's growing up.
Friends' mums, basically.
Yeah, so when I was growing up in school, I had some friends who had wonderful, unique families, and the dad would be out doing what he needed to do, and he'd be the kind of the big, burly, scary one. But it was always the mums that I was most terrified of, because they could look at you and say nothing at all, and you knew that they were the ones you did not want to mess with.
Like a laser beam stare.
Laser beam. The men you could manipulate, the dads you could charm, the mums, no. They know what's happening.
I'm watching I feel bad saying this, but I've only just started watching The Sopranos, and some of the women in that are formidable, although the kind of focus is on the men in terms of the mob action, but some of the women in that are absolutely formidable. Ray, you play Bobby Glass, Susie's dad.
Yeah.
An amazing name for a character. Interesting dynamic at play with the aristocracy being land rich but cash poor. Bit of an opportunity then for criminality, because they need the cash. Yeah. Did you model your character in particular on anyone?
No, not really. I just play... You play them people as a dad. You know, I looked... Where I am, I mean, I'm in prison. But I'm also, I've got a barbecue and I've got a chef. I mean, so once you get away from that sort of like heightened piece of the script, and you play for it and you believe in it, and then you crack on. But with me, I know you know, daughters usually turn out like their fathers. I've got three girls.
Yeah, me
who
too.
Who want to be actresses.
Oh, right.
You know, and they're very good at what they do. You know, in the show, my daughter wants to be daddy. She wants to be the gangster. And one side of him is, as I am with my daughters, very proud of what they do. And the same goes with my daughter in the show, you know. But I'm not going to tell her that.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to, I am the boss, and I want to tell her how it's done and how she's got to wind her neck in, because there's a fear also. It's, you know, this is a very dangerous game we play here, you know. But she's very good at it. So I think on the quiet, he has a little smile to himself and he's quite proud of her, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In a kind of macabre sort of way, you know. And I think he sees the weakness in the aristocracy, but after all, their families.
Yeah,
you know, and he sees the weakness that they have, this big rock around their neck, which is called a house or a castle, which they can't pay for.
Yeah,
and he manipulates them. They are manipulators. Yeah. They manipulate people. You know?
And staying on the visual, you know, Guy Ritchie productions are always fashion and clothing always has prominence. Now, before I destroy the name of your costume designer, is it Lulu Bontemp? Is that her name?
Me.
From the show.
Yeah. Your own personal dresser.
I thought you had a porno name for me. Excuse me, Lulu. No offence.
Ray Winston, okay, Lulu.
Lulu, yeah.
Lulu's amazing.
Terrific, yes.
But, like, did you... being honest about this, did you ever get to keep anything that you've worn in film or telly or anything like that?
Never. Normally this one I insisted on day one. I was like, Lulu, those Prada boots. Last day.
In the Prada boots.
Please, may they be in my trailer. And I got the Prada boots.
Oh, did you? Well, that's great.
I got the Prada boots.
I had things like saddles up the Cold Mountain. And I had this fantastic saddle.
That's cool.
It's kind of a Western thing. And... you know, Stevie Dent, who's the horse master's a mate of mine, so I had that. I kind of nick them, you know?
Yeah.
And I've got two flags off the battlefield and all that, you know?
Oh, brilliant.
I've got them all in the house and things
so like a little memento, keepsake of the
but then
film.
I kind of steal them, but then I tell them. You know, I say, listen, I've had that wage. Do you want any money for it? And they go, no, it's all right, we've done it, you know? So I do, I have me little bits, but then you give them away a lot of stuff for, you know, to sell for charities and things like that,
lovely.
You know? Yeah, sort of thing.
I love that. Well, Guy Ritchie movie royalty Vinnie Jones is also in The Gentleman as well. He's the gamekeeper, Jeff Seacombe. What's Vinnie like to work with? I mean, is he a big softie or how is he on set?
You're all big softies.
You're all big softies.
They're all big softies.
God, they're ain't real gangsters, you know what I mean? Yeah, Vinnie's. I like the part he plays, actually, because he starts off as a real loyal kind of man, you know, who's been loyal to the aristocracy, but he's from our neck of the woods. And it's quite interesting, that character, because it's almost like coming from East London and you're on the side of South London, you know?
Yeah.
In a way, you're with the other firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is he? I don't know, because I ain't seen the rest of the episodes yet. it's kind of very interesting, the part he's got, you know?
I loved learning that he is actually a gamekeeper in real life.
Is he?
And that's why Guy wrote that part for him. Yeah, he has a farm and he talked to us about badgers and told us all about farming. And
Vinnie Jones told you about badgers.
We sat and had dinner. He spoke to me about farming for 2 hours.
I'd love to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation.
It's great. I learnt a lot.
What was that about voles, Vinnie?
Yeah.
Love that.
I love the fox in it, didn't you, in the corner?
Yeah, the little fox
just staring at you.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Amazing. And one final thing. This is just something we've been talking about on the show the other week. I've got this kind of, not conspiracy theory, but I've got this thing that, you know the way vinyl's made a comeback?
Yeah.
Right? So people are all buying vinyl. We all thought vinyl was dead and buried. Yeah. I genuinely believe that DVDs...
You're going to say
Blu-ray is going to make a comeback, right?
Because Blu-ray. Did Blu-ray ever hit?
Oh man, Blu-ray was. You don't mean the big old laser discs that were like this, but you remember them?
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. They're not going to come back, but I think Blu-ray might do. Right. But like, if you've got a gorgeous thing like this that you guys have been in, and the movies, you know, you're in Moon, one of my favourite movies of all time. That's a beautiful film. Do you think there might be a comeback? Do you guys own any DVDs or physical media?
I own all thousands of the DVDs. Of them. Yeah,
have you?
Thousands of DVDs that we've collected over the years. Mm. I mean, you used to get them from BAFTA and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so get sent the
screeners. Would you keep in your collection, because you can't let them out of the house anyway, you know.
Do you watch them?
Illegally in Holloway.
Well, yeah, I know.
Holloway Market.
I've still got pirate DVDs.
I've still got tape, you know, like tapes.
Have you?
I always said that I'll get them changed over, get them put on DVDs. You never do.
I interviewed Quentin Tarantino a couple of years ago, and he said that he watches everything on VHS cassettes. He likes to adjust the tracking of every movie to his own specifications.
Oh, I'll
pass it on to him.
Quentin, you know, he probably hasn't got anything else to do. You know, I've got three kids to bring.
Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. We've run out of time, but The Gentleman out on Netflix right now. You can go and watch it. It's superb. Kaya and Ray, thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.